What's going on, Cleavey Today listeners? It's David here from the Cleavey Today Show, and I just want to let you know that today's episode and today's secret word is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine, king of the superfoods. Mighty Muscadine offers a variety of products from their signature muscadine grape juice to powerful dietary supplements. All of their products are made with 100% natural ingredients. No preservatives, no added sugars, just the pure, rich taste of muscadine. If you're looking to boost your health, Mighty Muscadine has you covered. Visit their website today, that's mightymuscadine.com, to learn more about the incredible health benefits of muscadines and discover your new favorite superfruit. And make sure you use our promo code, that's today, T-O-D-A-Y, at checkout for an exclusive discount on your first purchase. Not only are you saving money, but you're supporting our show as well. So thank you. Today's secret word is axiomatic, and today's contestant is me.
I picked up the remote.
Dork!
Three. Your nip.
This is staying in. Don't worry.
Okay.
Just
leave it in?
Yeah, okay. Of course.
All right, I'm going to keep going. You're listening to Cleavey Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm John Galantis, and you can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have a question for Dr. Shah, anything you'd like to write in, suggest we talk about, send us a text at 252-582-5028. You can also email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com. You guys can help us keep the conversation going by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere where you get your podcasting content from. Link is going to be in the description right there. And we are here in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, who's a PhD in New Testament textual criticism. Dr. Shah, welcome to the show.
Say that PhD again.
Dr. Shah is a PhD in New Testament.
PhD.
What?
PhD.
PhD in New Testament. Yeah. Because it's a philosophy of doctorate. Can you have PH other
than a doctor of philosophy?
Doctor of philosophy.
Yeah.
PH for philosophy and then D for doctor. Can you have a PH something else? Or is it always like, is it like THD?
It can be
like
DTH, or THD, doctor of theology.
Okay.
So it can also be.
So it'd be a THD,
yes.
Doctor of theology. But that's not a PhD. You want a PhD.
Yeah. I found it funny with the way you emphasize that D.
Yeah.
PhD.
A PhD in New Testament textual criticism, or in NTTC.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter which one you put the emphasis on, I guess. Well, it's good to have you on the show.
It's good to be here.
We got 2 days left in 2024,
right.
Man. This is crazy.
It's been a crazy year. Good year.
Yes.
We talked about this, it has its ups and downs, but overall I would say ups.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big ups. Yeah. And I think we're going to talk about that a lot on today's show because things are looking way more up than the media would have you realize.
Yeah.
Today's first verse of the day, I should say. This is hard doing this without Ryan. By the way, shout out to Ryan, who's traveling back from Charleston. You can't get back fast enough, buddy. It's very difficult to to juggle his and juggle mine. But we miss Ryan. A lot of people were texting, but it's funny because
David did a good job.
Yeah. Yes. That's true. David did do a good job. Yeah. But it's funny how this also showed me how internet comments work and how silly it can be. We said on the show, Ryan's traveling. He's in Charleston visiting family for Christmas. He'll be back. Guarantee you, we had comments coming in on the YouTube videos. Where's Ryan?
Did you listen to the show?
I told you where he was. They're like, oh, hopefully Ryan gets back soon. It's like
they miss him.
Yeah, we told you he'd be back for New Year's.
Internet's in a really big time of distrust for like hosts for shows because
yeah, true.
Because recently on a really popular show, the host left because everything seems to be fine. There doesn't seem to be any problems, but the host left and was replaced by the producer. So it just seems really odd.
This is a show?
Yes.
Okay.
So you're talking about this show?
No.
Because I was like, it sounds like you're describing what's happening. What's happening right here? Are you talking about he left for good?
Yeah. So the host of this show left
the show.
It was the comment section with Brett Cooper.
Oh, okay.
So she left. And then her producer took over and everybody's like really upset about it. So
they want her back.
Yeah. They want Brett Cooper.
Does she want
back.
Like more money?
No, she just wants to do like different things with life.
Okay.
It's insane how people will get attached to like personalities like on a show. Like
I get it. I do it, too.
I remember when Ray left. This is really going off topic. But when Ray Narvaez left Achievement Hunter, I stopped watching.
Yeah.
I felt like they had people get like this gel, this.
Yeah. It's like sitcoms and stuff. You know, yes. You have a certain person playing a role.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden, whether it's like a pregnancy, if it's a female, of course, mm-hmm. or it's an accident or a surgery and that person is gone, at least gone for 6 months or a year or a couple of seasons. And then people are like, it's not the same.
They'll stop watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
I get it too.
Well, don't worry. Ryan will only be gone for one more episode.
That's right.
In the meantime, John 5:30 says this. It says, this is Jesus speaking. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And I think that's one of the things that I hear Jesus saying, and you see him saying that, and it almost doesn't compute because he's saying, by myself, I can't do anything at all. It's only my connection with the Father. Yeah.
This is a doctrine is a very important doctrine. It's sort of being debated, but I think people who are willing to let go of this doctrine don't realize the ramifications of giving up on this. And that is the eternal functional subordination of the Son mm-hmm. to the Father. Mm-hmm. Eternal functional subordination of the Son to the Father. So eternal means it was in eternity past,
right.
It is now, and it will be in the future. Mm-hmm. Functional. Means this is not, I guess you can say ontological. This is not about their essence.
Right. He's not in his essence.
Less
inferior.
Than his Father. Yeah, gotcha. You're right. The essence is same.
Right.
So Father, Son, Spirit, they're three equal. Mm-hmm. Okay. Functional means in their, in how they, I hate to use the word do life because that's not what they're doing. How the Trinity functions mm-hmm. where the Father is the initiator and the one who controls and directs everything. The mm-hmm. Son is submissive to the Father and he wants to please the Father. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit is submissive and obedient to both the Father and the Son without being inferior to them.
This is functionality. It's not hierarchical in nature.
In nature, gotcha. In essence. Right. Gotcha. Very good. So, and there are people who believe that eternal functional subordination of the Son is not a biblical doctrine. And mm-hmm. I disagree with that.
And it's a verse like this that shows you he says, I can of myself do nothing.
Right. And they will say, yeah, that's true. But in eternity, that won't be true. Hmm. And that's not correct.
Right.
And if I can indulge you a little bit further, if you want to maybe share a few things, maybe David, you want to jump in on that?
Well, yeah. That was just one of the things that it took me a while to process. And I think that's true because like, think about it like this, like think about us in this room, you know, Dr. Shaw, you are our employer, our boss. That doesn't mean, and you've even said this yourself, I'm driving the bus. That doesn't mean that my life is more valuable. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't mean that your boss, your pastor are in their essence, a superior person to you in the context of what we do, our work, our mission, we submit to your vision, to the pastor's vision or to your boss's vision if you work in a secular job. Is it sort of like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Exactly what I believe. That's why we believe we sit kind of like in a round table where all of us are equal.
Right.
And yet there is a person who is directing, mm-hmm, who's mm-hmm. guiding because for one, that's the calling God has given to me, but right. also because of the experience I have, the understanding I have, the wisdom I have learned, and I'm passing it on to you because you're going to do the same thing too.
Right, right.
And I won't be here forever. So when that time comes, you'll be able to direct others. Mm-hmm. And even before that, before I, you know, I kick the bucket, so to speak, you know, you can be directing other people who are under you to do certain things.
Right.
So here's a passage I was trying to find. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 28. Okay. First mm-hmm. Corinthians chapter 15, verse 28. This is for those who do not believe the eternal functional subordination of the Son is
biblical
doctrine.
We're talking directly to you now.
Yeah, we're talking to you. All right. We're talking to you. And what are we saying to you? What does it say? David, you want to read for us?
Yes. This is coming from 1 Corinthians 15, 28. And I have opened the New International Version if somebody wants to get the New King James as well.
I got it.
It says, when he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him so that God may be all in all.
New King James says almost the same thing.
Can you read that one?
Yep. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him that God may be all in all.
Sometime back, I was talking to a person and this person was, you know, saying, oh, that's not biblical. You know, that's not biblical. I was like, how about this verse? Mm-hmm. It was kind of funny. He just read it and then was like,
yeah, well, that's what it says. I don't know.
I've never seen that before. I was like, that's a very important verse.
Yeah.
When it comes to subordination of the Son to the Father. I might have to think about this.
I just don't understand why people have a problem with it. Like, you're embarrassed for Jesus. Like, you feel like Jesus should feel insulted. Like, he's the one saying it. He's the one saying it.
But all throughout Scripture, I mean, I think you see relationships like this. I mean, just reflected in humanity. Like, that's, we're God's image.
Yeah.
So even in, like, with marriage, there's, you know, the head, but it's not that they're worth more or they're like more valuable. It's just that called to lead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then with like what you said earlier, like the Bible would call it like servant master relationships.
Right, right.
The master's no more valuable than the servant, but in that relationship, there's authority or even father son relationships.
So I'm glad you brought that up because what they will say is yes, but that is a temporary arrangement. That is a temporary arrangement where, okay, the husband should lead his wife, that wife, you know, the husband is the head of the wife and all that stuff. He says it's just a temporary arrangement and it's not the ideal.
So would they take the same, would they take that same logic and say that, yes, while he was on earth, he was subordinate, but now that he's glorified, he's not subordinate.
Hence in marriage, we're all equal.
So that's why we specify this is eternal functional subordination because it's going to last forever.
So it has implications because I want us to find another passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
I've got it.
And verse 3.
You want to read it?
Yeah, I have it here.
Go for it.
But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God.
Yeah, it's hard to argue, man. That's what it says.
So when you, this is not a headship in the sense of, you know, who's dominant, who's superior, who is better, who is... No, this is a different kind of a headship. Mm-hmm. This is if we're following the Trinity as our model,
right?
This is a headship that has complete love. This is equality in essence. Mm-hmm. When we talk about some parts of the world like Middle East or Africa and other places or Asia where women are inferior, hey, listen, many of them believe in essence they're inferior.
Wow.
Mm.
Yes, it's not just that her function is less, which I disagree with.
Right, right.
They will even talk about the essence is less.
Like she's less of a human. She has less humanity. Human.
Wow. That's right. Most of history has looked upon women as less of a person.
Mm-hmm. It was only when Christianity came along that began to change.
I don't know how we got on this topic. But
well, so with this, the eternal functionality, what implications does that have into eternity? Because I know that, you know, in our time, he went to the cross because the Father sent him. But what does that mean?
Well, I guess that's something we're gonna have to wait and find out.
Yeah.
Right? And I think knowing God is going to be good and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But in this life, we don't have to endure the structure that God has set up in the marriage.
Right.
We don't have to say that, yeah, it is what it is, but this is not the ideal, guys. I'm going to tell you this. This is not a good thing.
Right. You don't have to put that qualifier on it.
Right. This is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's because if those two passages, one in 1 Corinthians 11, the other in 1 Corinthians 15, put them together, it is a good thing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So now we have to see how can it be a good thing. And if it's not being a good thing in your marriage, then why?
Right.
Is it because the wife is unable to or unwilling to accept God's pattern? Mm-hmm. Or is the husband just a domineering jerk? I mean, what is happening?
Right.
What is going on?
Right.
We got to help. We got to fix it.
That's right.
So anyways. So
no, I love it.
A lot of discussion.
It. Yeah. And it may be something that we come back and look at another day. Speaking of good things, we got a great, great show for you guys today. We're going to be talking about some upward trends that we've been able to see. So don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with more Clearview Today.
Hey, Clearview Today listeners. We want to take a quick moment to thank you for tuning in. As you can imagine, producing a show like this takes a lot of time, effort, and resources. And we're grateful for the Truth Network for giving us a platform to syndicate our show. But the vast majority of our support comes from listeners just like you. If you enjoy these talks with Dr. Shaw and you want to see Clearview Today continue to grow, consider making a donation today. Because your contributions help us deliver fun, relevant, and biblical content right to your phone every single day.
That's right. Every single donation, big or small, goes directly to the production of this show. It helps us keep the lights on in the studio. It helps keep the mics hot and running. So if these conversations are making a difference in your day, or if you just want to help us keep the gospel of Jesus Christ in the airwaves, we would appreciate your support. You can give by visiting our website. That's clearviewtodayshow.com. And just click on that button that says Give Today. And remember, your support support truly makes a difference in our show. Thank you for being part of this community. Now let's get back to the show. Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah, anything you'd like to write in, suggest we talk about here on the show, send us a text, 252-582-5028. Dr. Shah, one of the things we do here at Clearview is at the end of every year, we like to look back and we assess how we did, right? We take a look back at everything. What were our goals that we set in January? Did we accomplish them? How did we do? And I think so also with our faith, our view of Christianity is limited. And what I mean by that is our view here at Clearview, we can really only see what God is doing in our local, in our neighborhood, right? But it doesn't have to be that way. Technology and research has allowed us to be able to look backwards really throughout church history and see how God has been moving really across all these different generations. Mm-hmm. And you sent me an email this morning that I thought was really, really interesting. And I thought we really should talk about this on the show. Do you want to kind of just talk about what you sent me?
Absolutely. So the Center for the Study of Global Christianity at mm-hmm. Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary came out with a 2024 report. Mm-hmm. And this report is the status of global Christianity. Mm-hmm. And we have a little screen up here.
Yeah, you need to cut to it on the video as well.
In the context of 1900 to 2050.
Right.
Okay? So now, of course, this is right now 2024, so we're still about 26 years mm-hmm. or maybe 25 years now because it's almost 2025.
Right.
So 25 years to their, the other bookend. Mm-hmm. But the numbers are quite amazing.
Right. So in 1900, the total population is 1,619,625,000 people.
Right.
Now, are those Christians or are those just
that's just the global population. That's just the population of the world.
Okay.
Okay. So it's 1.5 billion people.
Right. And under 50% Christian, it's 5.
Right.
That's incredible.
But if you go to 2024,
right,
the population now is 8 billion.
Right.
Now, before you guys panic and get into your bunkers and, trying to, see how we can manage resources, please, you can relax.
Yeah.
Our Earth can handle a whole lot more.
Yeah, I wonder why. I don't know why in the world. What metric do people say, 8 billion, 9 billion people? We can't handle that.
Right. Bottom line is they reject what the Word of God has to say about the earth supplying us with all the resources we need.
You're right. I didn't realize how seriously people take it, but there's some really anti-human people out there.
Right.
It's they tell people don't have kids, don't do that.
Right. So I can live.
Right.
So I can eat.
Gross.
Isn't that true? You're just concerned about the thing is, if there's another billion, I might not get my food. concerned about that.
And most of these people live in America too. It's like, bro, you're going to be fine. Chill out.
Right. Even driving through where we live, I see so many places where it's always great to have nature. I'm not saying we should get rid of it. But what I'm saying is there's so many places where we can still build and develop so many open spaces where we can house and, supply for more people. Like you said, the earth, it can hold a lot more than what we give.
Just think about India, okay? India, 1.5 billion people. It's a lot. The whole world population right now is the India population mm-hmm. in 2023 or 2024.
Wow.
I was there in 2023. Now, here was something very interesting. If you're in Bombay, it feels like the whole world is on top of you.
Wow.
The population of Bombay, they say, is 19 million people.
Wow.
That's a lie.
Is more?
Is 90.
90 million people in one city?
Yes.
Wow. I remember you told me that before, and I remember seeing the first Spider-Man movie where Green Goblin's talking to Spider-Man on the rooftop, and he says, there's over 8 million people in this city. And I was like, wow, that's a lot of people in one city. We got to talk. You were like, yeah, there's 90 million.
90.
And people don't believe that. They're like, that's not true. That's not true at all. I'm like, what do the census say? The census don't say that. I'm like, just do the math. Mm-hmm. 1.5 billion people in the world, in India. Now, go by the big cities. Mm-hmm. And I did the math. And go by the states. Mm-hmm. And when you divide them up by the state, 24 states, I believe. And then you see how much is in Maharashtra. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, compare that with the size of the different cities. Bombay is like a small country.
So it's kind of funny because I bet a bunch of the people who look at the census and would say that haven't even ever been to Bombay.
But that's what I'm thinking. Like the census is relying on data that people supply.
Yeah, they have to submit that data, right?
If you go into these places,
there are a lot of people who are living on the side of the street.
That's what I mean. What I'm saying. They're not submitting census data.
No.
Yeah. Once you walk through those places and you see how crowded it is, it should be axiomatic how much this is.
You're not getting there. What the heck? What in the world?
What do you say? Axiomatic? Now,
it's self-evident.
Yeah, no, I know what it means, but there's no way you'd have ever used it. I wouldn't have used it.
It's the Joker has been.
I was trying.
Axiomatic. So you've been to Bombay. I mean, like,
oh yeah,
how
many times?
Like, seriously, how crowded is it? Is it very crowded?
Very crowded.
Wow.
Like you can be going through the city of Bombay at certain areas. Okay, certain areas at 2 o'clock in the morning. And
sorry, I was thinking about axiomatic. You can be going through certain areas.
And it's an overpass. Look both ways. Okay. And this overpass kind of goes over several huge streets mm-hmm. underneath. Mm-hmm. Okay. Look to the right, look to the left. Crowds of people.
Is there anywhere, in your opinion,
people are coming out of a ball game like crowds?
That's crazy. And they're just there. They're just living.
Go over another overpass. I mean, like 5 seconds later, crowds. Another overpass, crowds. I mean, it goes on.
Do you think there's anywhere in the United States that would get as crowded as Bombay is?
No, not even close. Not even close. Well, I mean, and I know we gotta keep talking about other things, but I just want to let you know. I mean, this is where we are,
right?
But now, if you look at Christianity, mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. The population in 1900 was what?
558 million.
Million, half a billion people.
Right.
Guess what the population is now?
In mid-2024?
Well, mid-2024 would be the first one, David.
Oh, mid-2024. Thank you. My bad. There you go.
Yeah. 2,029,703,000 people.
Wow. Right.
Christians.
Yeah.
So it's crazy because the number of Christians...
I'm sorry. It's 2,000,000,000.
Right.
631 million.
Oh, go up to that.
No, that's...
Yep, I'm right.
Religionists?
No. That's religionists.
No, Pastor's right. Pastor's right. Because the religious diversity one is the 4.4.
Okay, it's right.
Yeah,
I'm right.
Yeah.
But anyway, the whole point is this. It's a lot more.
Yeah, it is. Wow. And the rate crazy. That Christians are growing worldwide from the last 4 years, from 2020 to mid-2024, the global population only grew by 0.87%. The Christian population grew by 1%, which doesn't sound a lot, but what that does mean is that more Christians were added in those four years than people.
That's right.
How is that possible?
I mean, and it's crazy. And they're projecting that by 2050, there will be 3 billion.
That's insane.
Christians in the world.
Yeah. And of course, like as the population grows, it's the Christian population will necessarily grow. But at the same time, you're seeing that Christians are growing more rapidly than people.
And if you go further down, what you'll see is that it's definitely growing most in Asia and Africa.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
Which is quite amazing.
Yeah. Well, I think that was the whole point. You know, we just got done doing our Lottie Moon offering for December.
That's right.
And that was a big thing is like Asia and Africa. They were thinking that was like one of the most unreached groups. But now by mid-2024, we're seeing a wider dispersion of Christians there.
So years and years of missionary work, Bible translations, prayer, giving. It hasn't gone to waste. You're now reaping the harvest, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes I think we expect the harvest to be now. You know, hey, we did all this. Where are the churches? Sometimes you have to wait. Yeah. And the enemy wants us to believe, whether it is in the missions world or mm-hmm. church life or personal lives, he wants us to believe that it's not going to get better.
Yeah.
And you have to reject the enemy. Okay. James chapter 4 talks about that. Submit to God, mm-hmm. resist the devil, and then he'll flee from you.
Yes.
So submit to God. Say, God, if this is the truth, I'm going to submit to what you are doing in this world, not what the world is telling me or what Satan is whispering in my ears.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to do that in my personal life. I have to do that in the church life. I have to do that regarding what God is doing in this world. I have to say, God, I submit to you. And Satan, you're done. Mm-hmm. I have no time for you. I don't want to listen to you. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to even reject you. I'm going to let God reject you, but you're done. You have lied enough.
Amen.
And then he flees. But doesn't mean that he's gone for good. Mm. He comes back.
Mm. Yeah.
So my encouragement to people, whether it is with global Christianity or Christianity in America or in your own personal life, submit to God. He is doing some amazing things. Mm-hmm. It may not seem like it right now, but he is. Resist the devil, because he'll lie to you and tell you it's bad, it's horrible. Atheism is on the rise. Churches are shutting down. God, you know, God doesn't care.
Right.
Or in your own personal life, you know, there is no hope. There is no better day coming. All on and on and on he goes. So resist him, and then he will flee from you.
That's right.
And you will see God doing amazing things.
And keep this. Go ahead.
Can I make two quick points since this is my last co-host episode for a little while?
We give you 2 minutes.
Okay. Here's my 2 minutes.
You got one tomorrow. Oh, you got one tomorrow.
I have one tomorrow. Yeah, that's right.
But go for it.
So here are my two minutes. 2 minute, 2 points. One, seeing these numbers and what you said of like making sure that you have the right mindset, don't encourage persecution. We know people who would do that. They would be like, well, you know, Christianity's on the decline, and you know, that's a good thing. We need persecution in the church.
It's a sign of the end of the times.
Right. So don't be someone who encourages persecution. It might
In fact, fight for your brothers and sisters. Right. Speak out for persecution, against persecution in India and Africa and mm-hmm. Middle East. You know, hopefully with the new government change, mm-hmm. Christians would, at least let them worship.
Right. That's the very least.
Keep going, Dave.
And then number two is with this, all these numbers, you see the amount of Christians that are like being added on to the church and even in the projected numbers. If you're a church, think that people are going to be stealing your members. Like, people are coming to Christianity.
Talk about the pie.
In droves.
Talk about the pie. Some game. I know you want
not,
to,
yeah, there's not a pie, right, where if I get this much, that only leaves this much for you, right? What it means is you have this pie. We have this many more ingredients. Make your own pie. Mm-hmm. Like, don't worry about if this church has 5,000 members, that means I only get 2,000.
That's right, man.
Funny thing is, I don't even answer people now if they ever ask me, so how many people you got going over there in Cleveland? Like, honestly, I don't know.
Yeah, a lot.
You don't know? Now, y'all have 3 services. I'm like, yeah, we do.
Y'all mean y'all don't count them at the end of
every service? How many? And they're trying to find out.
They want
to
know.
They want to know, how many can y'all see? I'll answer that. It's like about 850 or so. I really don't know.
Yeah.
So how many come? Like, honestly, I don't know. I'm just like so focused.
Then they start doing the math in front of you. They're like, well, let's see, 3 services. If they're all full, 850 times 3. Like, they'll be trying to do it.
Yeah. What I want them to understand is the reason I'm not telling you, it's not because I can't tell you, is because you're asking the wrong question.
That's right.
What if you ask the question, how many people are in this county and how many of them show up at church on Sunday morning?
It sure ain't as many as you
Less
think.
Less than 10%.
Yeah. 100%, I would agree.
You know,
yeah.
Less than 10% are coming to church. So go out there and get them.
That's right. That's right. Very, 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 very good stuff. Guys, we got one more episode with David on co-hosting.
I'm enjoying David.
Yeah, this is nice. This is kind of fun. Make sure you join us tomorrow for that episode. Same time, same station. We're going to be right here in the studio diving into another great topic. We're actually going to be looking back on 2024, all the great things and maybe some of the not so great things, but God is in all of them. Couple of quick things. Number one, thank you to Mighty Muscadine for sponsoring this episode. Don't forget, you can support us online by subscribing to the show on iTunes if you want to re-listen to any of these episodes. And you can always, always, always support us financially at clearviewtodayshow.com. Big thank you to all of those who are sponsoring the show through your giving. Couple of quick things before we head out is, number one, make sure you get Dr. Sean Nicole's book, 30 Days of Praying for America, Daily Devotions to Heal Our Nation. We have a fourth one in the works right now. We will be announcing that as soon as a little bit more progress is made on that. In just a couple of days, on January 3rd, we're going to be going live on Facebook, on YouTube, and right here on the air, on the radio, with our 24-hour prayer vigil from 7 to 9. You can call in that number, 252-582-5028, and we will pray with you right here on the air. Can't wait to hear from you guys. Dr. Shai, anything that you want to say before we close?
I just want to say, hey, look, you know, just, you know, like Paul, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forward to those things that are ahead. Press forward toward the goal
Amen.
Of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen. That's what we're going to help you guys do right here on the Clearview Today Show. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.